Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Army of the Lord walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, I just hide in his presence and my spirit starts to soar. Flying, I'm mounting up with wings like an eagle. Don't have to worry, cause the Father clear all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust him in me, but when things get worse, my hope in you, my strength is in you. I don't know a little more about you. How the world changed and try to take it from you. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boys, young girls trying to save yours. But who will teach them when the whole ones won't grow? Oh Lord, I want to be used by you. Oh Lord, I want to be used by you. When I'm down in my spirit and I need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation, turn off my BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek after the spirit, so I'm a spirit for man, and if I turn away from that, it's just more temptation. I'm tired of this body man, it's tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is in you, my strength is in you. I want to know a little more about you. As the world changes and try to take me from you. Money, relationship, air pressure in the pool. Young boy, young girl, trying to save joy. But who will teach them when the whole ones won't go? Oh Lord, I want to be used by you. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a fleshly world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God, yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't hear another preacher preach, I know the way and that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling. Oh, in Jesus, oh,
good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm Brother Mike, your host this evening, and as always, it is truly a pleasure to be here with you once again at the beginning of this week. We would like to thank you for tuning in. You can reach us here at area code 646-378-1857 if you would like to call in and join us, if you would like to give commentary, or even if you would just like to ask for prayer, you can reach us at area code 646-378-1857. Tonight we're going to be continuing. We're going to have part four of The Power of Persistent Prayer, and that's by Pastor Steve Lee. So as always, please get pen and paper, pencil, whatever you have, and get ready to take notes as we get ready to dive into tonight's teaching on The Power of Persistent Prayer. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Thank you again, Brother Mike. And beloved, let's just go ahead and pray and get into the Word and see what God will reveal to us. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your Word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your Spirit. that healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life now as I share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Beloved, this has been an interesting reflection or study about the power of the persistent prayer. And if some things I would just like to dispel in our thinking and cause us to engage God from a different perspective, not again from a new perspective, but if we keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, the definition for that is insanity. And I know people that say they're praying about a thing, but they don't have any change in their life. They don't have any motion to the victory that they are believing for. They just are content connecting with God by his word, but they haven't learned how to receive by his spirit. See, there's a difference, and religion will cause you to do things that seem right. The Bible talks about that. It says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end of that is destruction. The end of that is death. The end of that is empty, vain. Okay? If we are just going to recite words, and I think I said this last time, we have a mental exchange and a mental assent to a verbal exchange. That's what I said. That just blessed me. I thought about that 3 whole times. A lot of times we just go through the motions. That's a mental assent because we've said things. We had a verbal exchange. And then we expect that God was moved because of our mental assent. But no, God is looking for a heart that is connected to him. And a heart that is connected to him is a heart that lives in victory. And that's basically what I want to kind of talk about. Is living in victory. You know, I've learned I'm not trying to get God to do anything because Jesus has reminded me with a very expensive cost that the work's already finished. Those were his words. He said, it is finished. He didn't say I'm working on it still. Yes, I do understand that the things that he who has begun a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. I got that. I understand that. But he's the one doing the work in me because I can finish the work or participate in the plan and work of God because I join him, not because I beg him. Okay? It's Christ in me. That's the one that does the work. See? And if I'm not developing the connection that God wants me to have, then he can't do the work he wants to do because we haven't met at that dimension. You know, I'm coming to understand that God is inviting me into a life that's already complete. Right? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I believe it says that, and you are complete in him. So then if I'm complete in him, my responsibility would be for to be found in him. I'm still in the book of Philippians. That's what he said. He said that in chapter 3, that I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Okay? So then it's not about what I can do or what I bring to the party or to the table. It's about what I truly believe. And as I believe, then there is manifestation in what I believe, according to Mark chapter 11, 22 through 26. See? Because if I believe that those things that I say shall come to pass, I shall have. not I shall continue to pray about. I shall have whatsoever I say it. Okay? And then I understand the conditions, forgiveness. He attached forgiveness to that immediately. See, and if I'm not willing to forgive, then forget praying. It makes no sense. See, because I am violating, my actions violate what I say I believe. And if I do that, then that causes me to be double-minded. I can't even think I'm going to receive anything of the Lord. See, God is checking our belief by our actions. You know, the book of James tells us that we're supposed to have corresponding actions. Faith, if it does not have corresponding actions, is dead because it's left alone. It has no support structure, okay? So we want to really dispel some of that thinking because, beloved, we are about to turn the corner on a dispensation that if you don't believe, people will know it and you will live in frustration. Because the just has the requirement of living by faith. So then we're not going to be able to utilize our own strength. The enemy is removing things that your strength can produce. Okay? He's minimizing it. Because it's going to have to come to a place, not just by his design, but because that's what God said, that we're going to have to live by faith. The first century did more of that, or did it with more ease than we do, because we are accustomed to living by our own strength, by our own might. See? I mean, we've had teachings that told us if you can believe, then you can achieve. And I understand the premise, but see, I need God to execute whatever righteousness is in my life, because my righteousness is as filthy rags. And if I'm going to depend on that, then I'm going to run into what Jeremiah 17 says, my heart is going to then depart from the living God. See, because I'm trusting in myself, as opposed to having my life in his hands. See, we've got to learn how to do that and expect the results that he said would be in place because my life is in his hands. Okay. We do things and we connect our thoughts to a place that doesn't allow us to win now. Okay. I understand that there is a time when the whole thing is going to wrap up and then I'm going to get my reward. I got that. I enter into eternal life. I got that. But I always ask the question, when does eternity start? If eternity does not include now, it's probably not eternity. It has to be something that I can tangibly see and experience now while I yet hope for the thing that is yet to come. I'm hoping for complete fulfillment, but I can walk in the victory now. Complete fulfillment would be when I no longer have an enemy of my soul. When my soul has entered into, say, okay, come on, that's what he said. He told the people that endure until the end, to the thing that's all wrapped up. He said to them, enter. Unto that man's soul, he said, enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the rest of the Lord. See, there will no longer be a transition. There will be an entering for the last time. That's what happens when we have the power of persistent prayer. I lived it. See, I'm not praying to get God to do something. I agree with him. James chapter 5 is our foundation scripture, verse 17 through 20. And it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he have received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. You know, we've got to look at how our life is actually being presented to God. You do know that's what happens. That we present our heart, we present our mind, we present our soul, we present our life to the Lord. And see, if our life is pleasing unto the Lord, then we have more confidence in the things that our prayer life has brought to us. And I don't believe that my prayer life should be for emergencies. Okay? That's one of the things that I would like for us to dismiss. My prayer life should not be for just emergency. It should be for everything that touches my existence. And we're going to go to study that. I'm going to put a pin and come back to my prayer life. Yeah, that's good, sir. The word patience, again, means to have steadfastness, consistency, endurance. A patient, enduring, sustaining perseverance. In the New Testament, the characteristics of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose. He does not move from his deliberate purpose. I love that. This man is he's not going to be easily swayed. Okay? He's going to be constantly the same. He's going to be unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety, even under the greatest trials and sufferings. And the part B of that says that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, or makes power, tremendous power available that's dynamic in its working. See? It says it makes power available that is dynamic, or we got the word dynamite from. And the thing about dynamite, it completely changes the landscape once it is engaged. Okay? If you have dynamite that is lit, once it comes in contact with the landscape, it's going to affect change on the landscape. Things will not look the same because dunamis has come into play. Okay? That's what I'm saying. If we are saying that we are praying effective prayers and we don't see change, I don't know how that comes to pass, because he says that the effective fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available that's dynamic in his working. Okay? So the persistent prayer, first of all, must start with the right understanding. God's word was sent to execute something, because he said his word will not return unto him void. So then, okay, we'll just try it this way. If I'm going to the Lord in prayer the day after I just prayed, and I'm asking him for the same thing the same way, then that word has not been alive in me, so I didn't bring it back to God. I'm still trying to actually, you can look at it this way, I'm still actually trying to bring the word to my own understanding. When I have an accurate understanding, now that word leaves a heart of faith, and it will not return to God without executing. It will, according to Isaiah chapter 55, it will prosper. It will expand, grow in the thing where he sent it. It will accomplish that which he pleased. It will not just keep promoting or pumping up hope. He said it would accomplish. Okay. So, I mean, we just got to look at this, so because we need to get accustomed to our prayers being heard and being answered. Okay? That's not an unfair request. God would be unjust if He said, pray, ask me, and I will show you things that you don't know. He would be unjust if I kept asking and had no growing revelation. He's the one said, ask me, and I'll show you great and mighty things. He's the one said that. See? So he wants us to enter into another dimension. He wants us to expand the understanding. He needs our understanding to be enlightened. See? We don't need to walk in yesterday's understanding for the rest of our life. I'll just throw this out there. If I walk in yesterday's understanding for the rest of my life, I will walk in the problems of yesterday because I did not hear, receive, and garner the effect of change in my life. Today, if I would hear his voice, harden not my heart. Don't be like the children of Israel who kept tempting the Lord for 40 years, walking around in the same circumstances when it did not take 40 years to arrive at the promised land. But they could not see the active promise to enter into it because they did not mix it with faith. They kept looking at things from a natural perspective and expecting God, who is spirit, to come down to their level rather than they come up and ascend to the level that he's called us to. He said he's made us to sit together in heavenly places. And from that position, we rule and reign. We rule and reign together with him. All right, just so that we get it. Okay, we rule and reign together with him. We don't make him rule and reign with us. That would be demoting the word of God. I want to promote the word of God. I need to leave where I am and go where he is. I need to think, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I need to think from his perspective. Okay? Because as I do that, then I leave the dimension where I have weights, where I have the effect of sin. And I enter into the realm where he's given me grace. He's given me more grace. I function in the place where grace abounds toward me. Hallelujah. See? I don't just try to get to a place where grace would just be enough so I can get by. I want to enter into the dimension where grace abounds toward me. Because when grace abounds toward me, I will be able to do all things. I will be able to, in every circumstance, have more than enough. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. See? I need to get to that place. That place, I've been invited to that place by my connection to giving or to having a heart that's willing to give. See? So then that place can exist in my life, can bring to my life what God intended for me. That's what Jesus said he came to give me. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, to the full, overflowing, nothing missing, nothing broken. See? That's what he's invited us into. And sometimes we pray, but we don't get answers to prayers. We just do the religious exercise, mental assent, and verbal exchange. No connection with the heart. Okay, because when the heart connects, the way Jesus said, I will have whatsoever I say. Okay. I just want you to begin to understand. We looked at Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus asked Peter and them, who do men say that I am? And they say, you are good. You know you are the Christ. And Jesus said, well, who do you say? And Peter said, yeah, you're the Son of God. Wow. You're the one that has the answers. Not by want to, but because promise has been given, you walk in it, you live in it. And then Jesus said, you know, you're blessed because of this revelation, because God the Father told you this. And upon this revelation, upon the rock of this, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's nothing the devil can do to stop it. You will enter into a place through that revelation where the devil can't touch this. Okay? That's what he's asking us to get to, so that we can display the glory of God. He said we have this glory in earthen vessels. Well, since this glory is in the earthen vessels, we should then display it, shouldn't we? He shed his love abroad in our heart, and then he said that because this love is shed abroad, we should make that love manifest, because the people will know that we are called by the name of the Lord. They will know that we are his disciples because we make this love that has been shed abroad on the inside of our heart manifest. We show people. Men will see our good works and they will glorify God. So the glory on the inside should be displayed. We are being invited, we have been invited into a place where we can release glory into the earth. Oh, I hope to maybe get to that next week, because it just blesses my heart that we're supposed to make known the manifold wisdom of God. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. We're supposed to make it known to principalities and powers and might. We're supposed to make it known. In other words, it will be no guessing about it. They will know Jesus is alive. They will know there is a God in the earth today wanting to do things, because they see it in our lives. They see it through our prayers. See, if that's not happening, beloved, then we haven't come to the place of understanding the power of persistent prayer. I guess what we have is a prayer that is insistent that God does something, but we didn't bring manifestation. We just kept bringing requests. Okay? And there is nothing wrong with continuing to bring requests. I'm not mad about that. I am saying that it's time for us to go to another level. It's time for us to bring manifestation to the things we've been saying. Okay? That's the power of the persistent prayer. Not being engaged in persistent prayer just because you keep hearing them pray over and over and over again. I mean, when you see the life of Jesus, and we're going to kind of look at that, because he's a man that functioned under the power of persistent prayer. He said things and things changed. He told us we have this same ability. Have the faith of God. Mark chapter 11, 22 through 26. He said, y'all think this is something. I came and yesterday I cursed the fig tree, and today you notice that the fig tree is all withered up. Well, you got the same power. Have the faith of God. For whosoever, I love that, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. See, he says, I want you to enter into this position where the words that you speak come to pass. If Jesus displayed that, he wants us to display that. Not only that, but greater. That's what he said. He says, and greater works than this shall you do. He said, you marvel at seeing things done that you've never seen done before. But let me tell you, you're going to do greater works. He wants us to begin to function in that. All right, let's go to John chapter 11. And let's just look at this. John chapter 11. It says, and now a certain man. when you see accounts in the Bible and names are given, they're not parables. These are actual accounts, because this was a certain man. Not a questionable man, not a man that's come from hypothesis. It says this was a certain man was sick, named Lazarus. This certain man had a place where he lived, in the town of Bethany. This certain man had sisters, Mary and Martha. It was Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I want you to kind of put underline that, he whom thou lovest. Okay? Because they were asking for the move of God because of connection. He whom thou love is sick. And when Jesus, I love this, look at this. This is to show you the power of the persistent prayer that he lived in. He heard from them that Lazarus was sick. And upon hearing that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Please, circle, underline, put stars by that. He says, as soon as he heard it, his response came out of prayer. Because he talked to his Father about everything. One of the things that the Holy Ghost job description is that when he's come, he's going to show you things to come. He's not just going to wait for you to be in the trial, beloved. He's going to show you what's on the way so that you can have instructions for victory. Okay? Jesus is now displaying that he had instructions right then for victory. This sickness is not unto death. This sickness has another purpose, but for the glory of God. Please, don't go into the place where you say God made him sick so that God can prove how great he is. No, that's not the revelation that's here. He was saying that the enemy came, but he will not win. He won't win because the Son of God is going to be glorified by the things that happen, not because God needed death to show his power. He was, okay, we'll do it this way. He was showing his power in Jesus while Jesus was walking. He did not need the death of another to show his power. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. You see what I'm saying? He healed people without them dying. So he didn't need death to show people that God was alive and interested in doing things. Okay, just kind of separate that in your thinking. Because we read and we say, well, God is setting it up so that he can be glorified through this thing. That does not come through God. God does not tempt any man with evil. The book of James tells that very clearly. He doesn't tempt any man with evil. Okay? So that he does not make you sick so that he can prove his greatness. He does not make you broke so that he can prove his greatness. You might get broke. You might get sick. But his greatness overcomes it for you and through you, not because of you. Okay, let's try it that way. I hope you saw it. His greatness overcomes through you, not because of you. He didn't need to use that to make himself great. He was great before that happened. In the beginning, God, he was already great. It didn't say in the second place God was great. No, he was great in the first place, in the beginning. Okay? We need to hear that and understand that so that we will stop thinking backwards. Then if we think backwards, then we mess up our prayer life because we're thinking from the wrong position. We're trying to give God glory for the situation that we find ourselves in when he warned us in advance not to do that. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, you choose. He did not say, I set before you life and death, and I will choose. See, he said it in front of you. But because we don't listen, because we don't obey, we enter into areas that now power has to be displayed because he wants to, through us, show glory. Not because of us. Okay? Please don't let's erase that, if you would, from your thinking. The sickness is not unto death. See, when you have a persistent prayer life, you will know things. You will immediately, just look at this. This is the gifts of the Spirit in operation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. As soon as there was a report, he had the counter message for that. Immediately, it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Okay. See, the prayer life that he developed is not a prayer life of emergency. Oh, God, Lazarus is sick. That's not the way Jesus lived. He lived with information prior to the attack. As soon as, just so that you get it, when Jesus heard that, his mouth began to release truth that would transform. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. This glory is going to be released through his son. Now, okay, verse 5. Now he's going to deal with the thing that they brought to him. They brought in verse 3, the one you love, Lord, is under attack. And Jesus said, you don't understand what's in front of you. And after he said that, he is reiterating that love had nothing to do with it. Because even though the attack was there, it did not stop the love. Now, circle the word now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. Okay? So we can take love out of the way right now, can we? Because they're going to bring it back because they're looking at it from a different perspective. See? They're thinking that God, some kind of way, is going to get the glory because he brought the sickness. And when he heard that, therefore, he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Wait a minute. It said he loved him. So how can he stay where he was if he loved him? Because love was not the thing in question. It was not. Okay, just so we read this, let's just do it this way. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but so that love can be understood. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't bring love into it. We do. Jesus said, he loved him and he stayed where he was. He's trying to teach us something other than blaming love for the thing. Because that's what they're going to do. They're going to say it over and over again. Then after that, his disciples said, let us go again to Judea. He said to his disciples, let us go again to Judea. And his disciples said, Master, whoa, you? The Jews of late have sought to stone thee. And you want to go there again? And Jesus said, see, I understand purpose. This is what a persistent prayer life will give you. It will give you the ability to function in purpose rather than, that's good, sir. It gives you the ability to function in purpose rather than function in passion. I hope you heard that. See, because they were trying to get Jesus to do things out of passion. Jesus said, I'm going to function in purpose. He answered and said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Notice he said, the light is not where? It's not in him. Okay? If he's walking in questions, the night, if he's walking without purpose, see, then he's walking because there's no light in him. These things he said, after he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought he spoke of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. Okay? The report was he was sick. That's what they just told him. But Jesus, because of the persistent prayer life, a life that opens you up to know things that God wants you to be able to function in and give purpose to your life. See? He says, no, Lazarus, plainly, Lazarus is dead. And he says, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then Thomas says, well, you're looking at things different. We might let us go so we can die then. And when Jesus had come, he found that they had lain, that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went to him, but Mary was still at the house. And then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it thee. And then Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, yeah, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. It's interesting to me that he specifically asked her about the position of heart that she had, and she went to the position of heart that everyone around her had. Yeah, I know that you're the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about him being the resurrection and the life. And he said two things here. If you believe and you are alive, you won't die. He did not just say, if you die. He said, if you are alive and you believe, that you will not die. See, it's a different position of heart. And then when she had said, she went away. Look at that. I mean, she didn't even take time to investigate what the question was. Where was the thing aimed at? She said, okay, yeah, I know you are. You should come into the world. She didn't even say he was there. I mean, if you can catch the inferences that's made there, that you should come into the world. Okay? She went her way and called for Mary and told him, the master has come, and he calls for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she rose and came to him. And Jesus was not yet coming to the town, but was at the place where Martha met him. And the Jews were with her in the house and comforted her. They saw Mary, that they rose up hastily and went out. They followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary had come to Jesus, she saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. See, they were basing it on an emotional response. If you loved him, this wouldn't have happened. If you loved me, Jesus, I would have had to go through this. This attack is not for death, but it is for the glory of God. That you will understand what Jesus' presence is in your life for. That's what it is for. All of the attack is so that you would be able to display that, so that you will have confidence in that. Not so that you will just go, okay, God, figure out a way to get glory from this. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I want you to underline groaned in the spirit there. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, behold, how he loved him. See, they are looking at this whole thing from a physical, emotional response. But it's a little bit deeper than that. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, here we go, underline it again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto the Lord, Lord, by now this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say unto thee that if thou would believe, you would see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face bound with a napkin, about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, let's go back and dig into this. We see that Jesus had already showed them, told them, that love was not the issue. See, and that he's trying to get us to believe, okay, let's do that, to get us to believe past emotional response. Okay? He said to her, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. And they went to basing everything on, if you love me, I wouldn't be going through this. If you love me, you would have been here while I was going through this. He said, I need for you to believe to a whole different level. Okay? And then I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, in verse 33, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews that came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. It did not say he cried. You remember over in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that it says that the Holy Ghost can pray and make intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. I would believe that Jesus was participating in the groanings that cannot be uttered as opposed to sympathy and pity. Why would I say that? Because he already knew that this whole scenario was not unto death. He already knew he would raise him from the dead. If you knew that he was going to raise him from the dead, would you be crying? Just as a question, remember? Well, yeah, because we natural people, okay? He knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. What would be the need for tears for that? I would submit to you that the tears were for the people that were there that did not yet understand that he is the resurrection and the life. I would submit to you that it wasn't emotional. That was what the Jews reported. And the Jews said, do you see how much he loved him? They didn't even bother to ask Jesus, why are you crying? They just put words in his mouth, if you would. While saying with that same mouth, if this man had been here, he could have been something about the deal. I mean, do you see how double-minded we get? You're going to say he can do anything, but you're going to say, well, it's too late now. But Jesus had already told the disciples, this thing ain't going to end up at death. I'm going to go beyond death because my word knows no limits. He's able to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits and no restraints. Death doesn't bother him. Lack doesn't bother him. Not having a job doesn't bother him. Ask Elijah. Come on. The ravens brought food to the man. Lack don't bother God. He looks at things from a different perspective, and he's inviting us to look at things from that same perspective, a heavenly perspective, a perspective that has purpose from God. Okay? He says one time he groaned in the spirit. Then he said, where have you laid it? And then he continued to weep because they just didn't get it. And then they asked him, then in verse 38, he said he came to the place, and Jesus again groaning in himself. Again, I would submit to you that that was not sympathy or pity. That would be intercession. That would be the release of the effectual, fervent prayer that's going to avail much. That would be persistent prayer. Even in the very sight of the end, as we know it, praying in the Holy Ghost took him to the next dimension, took him to the breakthrough, took him to the place of victory. Watch this. Then Jesus said, take away the stone. Okay. If I was caught up with grief, would I give instructions like that? You see, let's think it through just a little bit. Be honest, okay? Then he said, take away the stone from the place. He says, I've already told you. I'm going to allow God to be glorified. Oh, Jesus, keep it dead 4 days. Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So they said, okay, let's see. You going to display glory? Let's see glory. They took the stone away. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me. And I know, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said it. Question for you. Did Jesus not say that his reason for praying was because, oh, I'm sorry. No, let me ask two questions. Where did Jesus pray? Excuse me. He told them, take away the stone. They took away the stone, verse 41. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have already heard me. Is that what's in your Bible? He said, that thou hast heard me. That's a past tense phrase, use of the word. Thank you that you already heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people which stand by, this whole conversation just took place. Did you get that, beloved? So his prayer life, the information that he got prior to coming on the scene, he already knew Lazarus was dead. He already knew he would raise him from the dead. So then the prayer of intercession that we participated in by looking at it, praying in the spirit, he said, I thank you that you heard me. I know you always hear me. But so that they would know that there is power resident in conversation in secret places with you. Not just so that after the fact, but in secret places before the fact. Jesus lived this a great while before there was warning. Jesus went up to a mountain to pray. And God would show him things that would come. That's the Holy Ghost job description. Show you things to come. Okay? So I'm asking you to participate in the plan of God by praying in the Spirit so that you can get things prior to it being an emergency. That when you get into a situation, it won't move you. Because you already know that this whole experience is not unto death. It's not unto the end. It is for the glory of God that the Son of God, me, will be glorified thereby. Then he says, for the people that, I love the way it's worded here, but because of the people which stand by, you know, that phrase still works today, doesn't it? For the people which stand by. He didn't say the people that are here. the people which stand by in question of, can God do this thing? I'm standing in the need of a victory. I'm standing in the need of a breakthrough. The people that stand by, I heard as I stand by in the need of, that he is going to be glorified. And watch what he does. But that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Do you believe that he was crying with a loud voice because Lazarus couldn't hear? Or do you believe he cried with a loud voice so that everybody around the scene could hear? I would recommend to you that it's not because of Lazarus. Because if seas obey him, winds obey him, and he didn't cry with a loud voice then, surely a man that he made with the same voice, he wouldn't have had to holler for. I believe that he just said that because of the people that stand by, this loud voice was given. And when the voice was released, the one that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. So when he ushered in a new dimension for us, he was teaching us that if I'm bound and there's a word from the Lord, that what has me bound does not stop me from coming forth. Glory to God. Notice the man that was dead, the man that was dead, came forth. He was still bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was still bound about with a napkin, so he couldn't see, he couldn't talk. And Jesus said, let the man go, loose him, so that he can function as he was functioning before. I believe that was what the loud voice was for, so that we who are standing by can hear. We can understand. We can perceive. I don't think it was for Lazarus. Okay, just so that I get it. I hadn't thought about this. But when he breathed into Adam, he breathed into that which was dead, that which was in Adam. It had no life. He breathed into that. And that came alive, became a living soul. Do you think that this same God now has to holler at the clay? Come on now. Same ruah, same breath, same spirit. So I would recommend to you that the loud voice was not for Lazarus' sake. He could have just said, Lazarus, come forth and come through the wall. Because you remember what happened in the book of Acts. The Bible says the gate opened of its own accord. Do you not think that stone would have rolled away of its own accord? See, the voice of God was given command. Everything obeys. So it wouldn't have been no issue. But he was getting us to see that, okay, this is what we call impossible, and this is what happened. That's why Lazarus had a name. That's why Lazarus had a town. That's why Lazarus had sisters and witnesses, so that we would know that which is impossible in our thought process still cannot stop the word of God, the power of God. That's the power of a persistent prayer life, one that goes before God and gets the answers, because God will not have us to be ignorant, because God will not do anything in the earth except he first tell his prophet, his servants, the prophet. He wants to tell us what's going on so that we will be prepared, so that the glory of God can be on display now. Because we'll look at it and say, okay, yeah, I know. You think it's over, don't you? It's not over. Here is the word of the Lord. for this situation. Loosen and let him go. Beloved, we have to come to the place where we function in a life of a persistent prayer. Hearing from God truths that cannot be otherwise stopped. Because once a word from God has been released, it will not return void. Once you got it in your spirit, what God has released to you, for you, that he wants to work through you, it cannot be stopped, even if you are bound, even if you are dead, even if you can't speak, even if you can't see. A word spoken to you, spoken into your life, must bring the results that God has already promised. But the choice is yours. What will it take for you to enter in to victory, to enter in to breakthrough, to get out of religious thinkings and mindsets, to allow a word that has been released to be a word that is settled? And a word that is settled will be a word that is enjoyed by those who stand by. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for sending a word that transcends troubles, trials, temptations, and frustrations, a word that transcends all of the things that we understand as limitations. And Father, we thank you that that word that has been given to us is for us to arise, to come forth, to be loosed, to be let go, to walk into victory so that we can display glory, the glory that you've given to us to display, because we are the ones that believe. We are the ones that release faith. We are the ones that release glory. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committed it to you as done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the Redeemer of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and get ready to open up the lines and receive commentary on tonight's teaching. Let's start with area codes 678. 678.
Hallelujah. Amen. 678. What's the next number in that area code?
We have another 678 as well.
Yeah, you have the next number. So that, yeah. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you for the word. It was really good, and in listening to the message and what I'm discovering in that is what my husband and I was telling to our children today, and the things that Jesus did, what other messages are we receiving as well through his actions? And so it was just confirmation today to not only just see the word for what it is, but just see how the Lord modeled himself, as we should be doing that as unto others as well. So it was just a blessing to hear the word.
Amen. That is true.
So thank you so much for it.
Thank you for listening. That is very good. Yes.
Amen.
The word is alive. It's not only alive because it's spoken, it's alive because it was modeled in front of us. Glory to God. I mean, we really don't have an excuse, beloved. We really don't. He walked it out in front of us through all kinds of situations, through all kinds of dead situations. But the word is still alive, spoken and modeled out, displayed before us. Amen. Thank you for that. Glory to God.
All right. Let's get our next caller. Area code 312. 312.
Amen.
The mic.
Amen. Area code 312. Is that Chicago?
Hello.
All right.
Yes,
hi.
Hello.
I just want to say, first of all, that I want to thank Pastor Steve for teaching on this and for going straight down the chapter. That was just wonderful. So I wanted to say a couple of things. I wrote them down this time.
Okay.
When you talked about persistent prayer, you were absolutely correct. And I just want to say that Lazarus had no power at all to heal himself from being sick.
That's right.
Or
that's
from,
right.
to raise himself from the dead. And it was apparent from the scriptures that his two sisters had rehearsed.
Right.
Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. They had rehearsed that because they had expected Jesus to drop everything that he was doing and to come to them. Yeah, to come to them to heal their brother. And we always do that. We think that we should just be able to pray and God should just immediately do whatever it is that we're asking him to do. When in fact, we can't see everything that's going on. We don't know what's in other people's hearts or we don't know what's in other people's minds. And God has his own timing for everything.
Correct.
So the way that they thought that it was going to happen was according to their limited understanding.
Correct.
Okay. And you touched on that, too. And that's exactly right. And they saw their brother's deliverance in their own limited knowledge and their own understanding.
Correct. Correct. Which
and
is also good because,
again,
they had nothing to do with it. They had nothing to do with it,
exactly,
which is good.
Exactly right. Absolutely
that's really
nothing.
Yes, that's really good.
From the time that they said, sent the message, he whom thou lovest is sick. Okay? They wanted him to immediately come because they knew that he loved him. And it's difficult for us to understand that God is still working on our behalf, even though it looks like he doesn't love us. He does. Okay. And you were right about Jesus weeping, because actually, you know, he was only going to be with them a short time after that. And he said before, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, he just
weeps
for, them, right? Because as you said, they still didn't get it. He had been there and performing all of those miracles, and they just didn't get it. And Jesus is always in the present tense because he says, he that you will you have everlasting life. And you have passed from death into life.
Right.
So it's always present tense. So the only thing that Lazarus ever had to do for whatever time Jesus decided that he was going to raise him from the dead was simply believe. So the same thing applies to us.
Yes, it does.
And
yes,
I wanted to just make one more point. When you said, loose him and let him go, do you think that he was speaking specifically to the people to unbind him, or was he also speaking to death, who thought he had hold on him? So if you could just
he's
comment on that, I'd appreciate
that. Into the spirit. Yes, he definitely spoke into the spirit. Okay, good. As you open that up, because when you think he had to go through, watch all of the stuff that Lazarus had to go through because of being raised from the dead. Okay, there was a whole lot of talk going on to the town that they were even going to kill Lazarus because of the miracle itself. So he had
that's
to tell them there has to be a different way of thinking now. Oh, that's very good. Yes, he was not just speaking to the people, but he was speaking to death. Yes, yes. Wow, that's, you can take that. That's another whole ministry right there.
Right, and there is an appointed time for us, each of us, to die.
That was
not his appointed time.
Correct, at all.
Okay,
and
just
and
because
Jesus
the devil...
Let him be known. Yes.
Right,
yes.
And just because the devil messes with you,
right.
You have an appointed time from God. And Paul even said, now I am ready to be offered.
I'm ready.
Okay, now I am ready to be offered. He wasn't giving the devil anything at all.
Sure. That's right.
And
thank you
so much for talking on this because it was perfect. Okay, God bless you.
Amen.
And
God,
I just wanted to ask if you can give the address of where to send money, if you could just give it a little more slowly, that would be appreciated.
We'll do that.
Love
you
all. Bye-bye.
I love you. Be blessed. Amen. Just some good, that's some good, good dialogue. You know, he was definitely, Jesus always speaks into the spirit, and he can speak into death and bring life out of death, as we saw here. But he speaks into dead situations in your life, and he commands the spirits that have been assigned to you to loose and let go. He speaks into the spirit, beloved. We do not really have an excuse for losing. He's taking it away. He gives us. He always causes us a triumph. He gives us the victory. So let's just begin to, again, take the religious thinking out of it. Read the Bible. Live the Bible. Enjoy the Bible. It's basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Mike. I appreciate it.
Amen. All right. Well, that does that's the end of our caller list. Would you like to include anything else, Pastor Steve?
No. That really is it, beloved. Let's wake up unto righteousness. It's time for us to awake to righteousness. And that does not mean business as usual. That does not mean for us to just go and pat ourselves on the back. That means for us to find out the view the way God said it should be and walk in it. Cause liberty to be understood because our life functions in it. That's all I got to say, beloved. And we'll look for you next time. If you would, Mike, give the address a little slower so that our donations can be made.
Amen. All right. For those of you out there listening who would like to make a donation, send an offering to us here at Live Deliverance, you can do so at www.livedeliverance.com. That's www.livedeliverance.com. And there you can just click on the donate button, and you'll be able to make your donations through PayPal. I don't have the actual physical address. I just know of the actual PayPal link there through the www.livedeliverance.com link. So if you would like to go there and make your donations, that'll be fine. All right. Well, folks, with that being said, thank you for tuning in and listening to us here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If this is the Lord's will, we will see you again here. We won't be on tomorrow night. I do apologize. Brother Emmett will not be on, but we will be back Wednesday here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone. Have a good night, and God bless.
Amen. Shalom.